Hey you!
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking into something pretty interesting, actually. It's from One Buddhism, which is, you know, a relatively new religion from Korea, only about a century old.
That's right. Quite recent in the grand scheme of things.
And they have this idea, this path, aimed at achieving, let's say, a clear mind, maybe making the world a bit better. Sounds appealing, doesn't it?
It really does. And central to One Buddhism is this concept called Ilwon Tang.
Ilwon Tang, okay.
Yeah, it might sound a bit abstract at first, but maybe think of it like this.
Okay, like your phone, right? You got all your apps, games, everything running on it.
Right.
But underneath all that, there's the operating system, your Android, your iOS.
The foundation.
Exactly, the thing that makes it all work.
Mm-hmm.
So Ilwon Tang is kind of like that for One Buddhism, the fundamental principle behind, well, everything, life, the universe.
That's a great analogy, yeah. It's seen as that underlying reality, the base operating system.
Okay.
And flowing from that, there's this practice called the Ilwon Tang vow.
The vow. Okay, so not just the concept, but something you do with it.
Precisely. Think of it like making a really significant promise to yourself, like a New Year's resolution, but maybe deeper. A commitment to live in sync with this understanding.
Like deciding you're really gonna, I don't know, read 10 pages every single day, a deliberate choice.
Exactly. A deliberate commitment to align yourself with this core principle.
Okay. So our mission for this deep dive, then, is to really unpack this Ilwon Tang vow.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get what it means, you know, why it's important, and maybe how it could actually show up in your life.
And hopefully do it in a way that's easy to follow without getting bogged down in jargon.
Yeah, exactly. Let's try and make it click. So let's dive in. This Ilwon Tang vow, what is it fundamentally? What does it actually mean?
Okay, so first off, it's important to note this isn't just a casual statement or thought.
Right.
This vow comes directly from the Yangzhen, that's the main scripture, the holy book, in One Buddhism.
So it carries weight.
A lot of weight. The term vow itself points to something deeply felt, a heartfelt promise. It's significant.
Okay, so not like I vow to take the trash out. More profound.
Much more profound. And essentially, this vow holds, let's say, two main layers of meaning.
Two layers.
The first is about reminding ourselves constantly what Ilwon Tang actually represents.
The operating system idea?
Exactly. It's understood as the root of everything, the source, the ultimate reality. But, and this is key, it's also seen as the very essence of our own hearts.
Yeah.
Our core nature.
Okay. So it's both the huge cosmic thing and something deeply personal inside us.
Yes, exactly. That connection is crucial. It brings it from the abstract right into, well, you.
That makes it feel much more relevant, less out there.
Definitely. And the second core meaning, the vow acts as a kind of guide, a direction finder.
A compass.
Yeah, compass for living a better life. It's about consciously keeping this understanding of Ilwon Tang in your mind, in your heart.
Yeah.
And the idea is that doing this helps you cultivate a mind that's both kind and clear.
A life compass. I like that. So it's not just knowing about Ilwon Tang, it's using that knowledge to shape how you think and act day to day.
That's precisely it. You could even think of it maybe like a mission in a video game.
Okay. How so?
Well, you know, you get a quest and completing it helps your character grow, level up.
Right.
The Ilwon Tang vow sort of gives you a personal quest. Become a better person by living according to this fundamental truth.
Got it. A personal growth mission guided by this core idea of how things make sense. So that's the meaning. But why do people in One Buddhism actually say it? Awfully together, right?
That's a really good question. Yes, they often recite it together in what they call Dharma assemblies.
Dharma assemblies. They're regular gatherings.
Exactly. Their services are gatherings for practice.
Mm-hmm.
And reciting the vow is a pretty central part of those for several important reasons.
Okay, so what's the benefit of doing it as a group?
Well, one big reason is unity. Connection. Think about being at a concert, like you said,
yeah.
Or maybe singing a school anthem together.
Yeah, there's that shared feeling.
Right. Reciting the vow together fosters a similar sense of community. It aligns everyone's focus on this shared principle, this shared path. It creates a strong feeling of, okay, we're in this together.
I can definitely see that. It builds that collective identity and purpose. What else?
It's also about renewal, recommitment.
Like hitting refresh.
Exactly. This vow is a promise to live well.
Mm.
Right. So saying it regularly, each time they gather, acts as a reminder. It's a chance to consciously recommit to that intention.
It's like setting a daily alarm for something important so you don't forget. Keeps it front and center.
Precisely. Keeps the intention active. Another point is understanding.
How so?
The concept of the old onesang, as we've said, can be quite deep. It's not something you necessarily grasp fully the first time you hear it.
Right. It takes time.
It does. So by reciting the Dao regularly, the meaning can sort of seep in gradually. It resonates more over time.
Like listening to song lyrics. You hear them again and again, and suddenly new layers of meaning pop out.
That's a perfect analogy. Repetition helps embed the understanding.
Okay, that makes sense. Anything else? Does it connect to their history?
Absolutely. That's a big part of it, too. One Buddhism was founded by Master Sotosan roughly 100 years ago.
Right.
And he specifically introduced this vow as a core practice for his followers. So when people recite it today, they're directly connecting with the founder's teachings, with the lineage and traditions of One Buddhism.
It's like keeping a family tradition alive, in a way, connecting to something bigger than yourself.
Exactly. It links them to the roots and the ongoing values of their community.
Oh, okay. That's really interesting. So deep meaning, reasons for group recitation. But you mentioned the original wording can be complex. Can we simplify it? Break down what it's actually saying in easier terms.
Yes, definitely. I think we can boil down the core message into, say, three main parts.
Perfect. Let's do it. Part one, what is Ilwonsang, simply put?
Okay. So the vow starts by trying to point towards this truth that's almost beyond simple definition. It says Ilwonsang isn't just something that exists or something that doesn't exist.
Uh-huh. So not easily boxed in.
Right. It's more fundamental than those labels. The main takeaway here is that everything, literally everything, originates from Ilwonsang and eventually returns to it.
The source and the destination? Like that operating system idea again?
Exactly. Or think of a tree. It needs its roots to exist and grow, right?
Sure.
Ilwonsang is like the ultimate root system for the entire universe and everything in it. It's the fundamental ground.
Okay, the ultimate source. But didn't you also say it's in us?
Yes, and this is really central. The vow emphasizes that this fundamental reality, Ilwonsang, is also the essence of our own consciousness, our own hearts, your heart, my heart. Inherently, we share this same essence.
Ah, okay.
That's why there's such a strong emphasis in One Buddhism on interconnectedness.
Mm-hmm.
It stems from this idea that Ilwonsang is the common ground within all beings. We're all connected at that core level.
That's a powerful idea, that deep down we're fundamentally linked. Now, you also mentioned something about it being unchanging and changing. How does that work?
Yeah, that can sound a bit paradoxical at first glance.
A little bit.
Think of it this way. Ilwonsang is the ultimate truth, the perfect, complete reality. That aspect is eternal, unchanging, like the laws of physics, maybe, just always there.
Okay, the constant background.
Right. But at the same time, it's the source from which all the changes and phenomena we experience arise. Birth, death, growth, decay, good fortune, hardship, all the dynamism of life.
So the unchanging foundation enables all the changes we see and live through.
Precisely. It's the stable source of all dynamic processes.
Okay, I think I'm getting a feel for that. The unchanging core from which all change flows. So part two then. How does this Ilwonsang relate directly to our lives?
Right. The second part of the vow essentially connects these big cosmic cycles.
Yeah.
You know, stars being born and dying, seasons changing with the cycles of our own human experience.
Like being born, growing up, getting older, facing challenges, having successes.
Exactly. All of these personal life events, the ups and downs, are seen as expressions of this larger universal process rooted in Ilwonsang.
So life's events aren't just random chaos. They're part of a bigger pattern connected to this fundamental reality.
That's the perspective, yes. And understanding this offers a practical benefit. The vow suggests that by keeping Ilwonsang in mind, we can use it as a guide.
The GPS for life.
Exactly. Like a GPS. When you're navigating those twists and turns, the changes, the difficulties, this core understanding can help you orient yourself, find the right path forward.
Having a guiding principle to navigate with. I like that. Okay, so that leads us to the third part, which sounds like the most practical bit. What should we actually do? How do we live with this?
Yes, the final section outlines three key actions, three ways to embody this understanding in daily life.
Okay, action number one.
First, it's about striving to keep our hearts and our actions clear and aligned.
Clear hearts, clear actions. What does that look like?
Well, think about when you feel strong emotions. Anger, jealousy, frustration.
Happens to the best of us.
Right. The idea is to recognize those feelings, but then try to remember that our mind, our heart, is originally clear, like Ilwonsang. It's about trying to return to that state of inner clarity before acting.
So not just reacting emotionally, pausing, finding calm.
Exactly. Like if you have a disagreement with a friend, instead of just lashing out, you take a breath, maybe think, okay, my heart is originally clear. How can I respond to this constructively?
Trying to act from a place of clarity and not just heat of the moment reaction. Got it. What's the second action?
Second is about actively learning what's right and wise.
Okay, seeking wisdom.
Yes. This means making an effort to understand the world, to understand cause and effect, and to discern what is truly beneficial, ethical, and fair. It's about continuous learning and cultivating discernment.
So not just coasting, but actively trying to figure things out ethically.
Right. For instance, if a friend is struggling, it's not just about blurting out the first piece of advice that comes to mind. It's about really listening, trying to understand their situation, and offering help or counsel that is genuinely wise and considered.
Makes sense. Be thoughtful. Be wise in how we engage. And the third action?
The third action is using our hearts and actions for good. This is where the inner clarity and wisdom translate into outward behavior.
Putting it into practice.
Exactly. Taking that clear heart, that wise understanding, and actually applying it through acts of kindness, compassion, and service. Even small things.
Like what?
Oh, it could be as simple as consciously thanking someone, really meaning it. Or noticing someone seems down and just asking, hey, are you okay? Anything I can do? These small gestures that come from a place of care.
So taking that inner state and making it manifest in how we treat others and engage the world?
Precisely. And the vow suggests that by consistently dedicating ourselves to these three actions, clarity, wisdom, and compassionate action, something happens. We start to grow. We become kinder, wiser, less likely to follow paths that cause harm to ourselves or others. And ultimately, the goal is to feel that power, that presence of Ilwan Sang within us more strongly, maybe even experience a sense of oneness with it.
Wow. So it's a path of transformation, really. Living the vow changes you.
That's the core idea, yes. Yeah. It's not just intellectual understanding. It's lived practice leading to inner change.
Okay. That makes the vow feel very active, very alive. So thinking about listeners now, what are some super simple, totally manageable things someone could start doing like today, inspired by this?
That's the key, right? Making it practical. The vow encourages this kinder, clearer way of being.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there are definitely simple first steps.
Perfect. Give us some actionable takeaways.
Okay, first, building on that last point,
focus
on small acts of kindness. The vow talks about using our clear hearts in action.
Right.
So maybe just consciously choose one small kind thing to do today. Really listen when someone speaks. Offer help with something simple. Check in on someone, like we said. Just one small thing.
Small, doable kindness. I like it. What else?
Second, maybe take just a tiny bit of time for self-reflection. Remember the idea that our minds are naturally clear.
Mm-hmm.
Try spending just 1 or 2 minutes, maybe at the end of the day, just quietly thinking. How was I today? Were there moments I could have responded with more clarity or kindness?
A quick mental check-in.
Exactly. It's not about judgment, just gentle awareness. It helps nurture that inner clarity the vow talks about.
That sounds really manageable. 1 or 2 minutes. Okay, and a third step.
The third thing is really just a reminder. Be patient with yourself. This is a process.
Yeah. Good reminder.
It's about consistent effort, little by little, step by step, mm-hmm. becoming kinder, clearer, wiser. It's like learning anything new, right? Like practicing soccer or playing guitar.
You don't become a pro overnight.
Exactly. You practice regularly. Small efforts add up. Don't get discouraged if change feels slow. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other, making those small, consistent efforts.
Small, consistent actions add up. It's about the practice, not instant perfection. That makes it feel way less daunting.
Absolutely. Think of the Ilwan Sang vow. Not as some huge mountain to climb immediately, but more like a seed.
A seed.
Yeah, a seed of potential for clarity and kindness that's already inside you, inside all of us. These small practices, kindness, reflection, consistent effort, are like watering that seed.
Helping it grow.
Helping it grow.
Yeah.
And as it grows, it can brighten your life and maybe even ripple outwards a bit. So maybe just pick one tiny thing to try today. See how it feels.
That's a really hopeful and practical way to end. It puts the power right back in our hands, doesn't it?
It does. It's about engaging with these ideas in a way that works for you. And, you know, staying curious. If questions come up, keep exploring. That's part of the journey, too.
Definitely. And maybe one final thought for you, our listener, to chew on as you go about your day. Building on everything we've discussed, what would it actually feel like? What would it mean to live your life truly believing that everyone and everything is fundamentally interconnected? Stemming from that shared essence of Ilwan Sang. Just something to ponder. Thanks so much for joining us for this deep dive.